This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
this is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, this is a football Friday. It's an effort Friday. It's all kinds of Friday. Give him the number. Let's go.
Oh, it is. It's 1-800-919-3776. And for those who can't keep up with my speed and my energy, I'll say it for you real slow.
1-800-919-3776.
Get on the lines early and often, man, because this is your show this weekend. So Effort Fridays is for you guys to talk about what the hell you want to talk about, because I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. So y'all better get in and cut me the damn off, because I love to see dynasties fall. I'm going to skip over Twitter. I'm going to skip over Instagram. They I'm going to go straight to Bill. Tell us where the hell they can get us at.
Snap face instance.
Bill, is Cam your quarterback? Tell us again, Bill.
Snap face instant chat or whatever it is.
Bill would want to be anywhere else other than where he's at right now.
Because
right now he's finally getting some tough courses, and this is what it looks like when reigns fall, when empires fall. It's never, ever, ever pretty. And I know the record isn't bad, but listen, it's only going to get worse because it's Jarrett Stidham. Mm. It's an environment in where you don't have anybody coming to save you. Oh, welcome to what it feels like to be a Buffalo Bills fan after Jim Kelly. Oh, welcome to what it feels like to be a Miami Dolphins fan after Dan Marino. Oh, welcome what it feels like to be the San Francisco 49ers after Steve Young. Ha, ha, ha. And to that little kid, and you know who the hell you are.
Oh, here
it
we
was
go.
A couple of years ago when the Patriots was playing the Atlanta Falcons, and you was full of pride. And I'm like, hey, kid, who you rooting for? And you said, the Patriots. And I said, well, where you from? And guess what? That time has come. You're going to be Joe Beningo for the rest of your life complaining about the good old days, about how the Jets was when Namath won, and now you're 12 years old, and you have 40 years of pain of your team sucking, little kid. So, ha, 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 I told you this day would come. Jump on the bandwagon. Now you're stuck.
Damn.
Sucker. And if you can't get us there, catch us on a tweet at Bartheim. And please DM Alan, your navel.
Wait till you see the one I got
your back shots. And listen, the hairier the better.
Whew. This one.
At Bartheim at the Instagram.
A lot of them getting there androgynous, and it's just a little creepy. But I warned you guys on Twitter. I warned you guys on Twitter that Barber's going to bring the smoke, and he was going to eulogize the Patriots. They lose last night. Now, again, we got our Week 14. We got a lot of games to get to. Of course, the Giants, and we want to really dive into that game. Another game where I'm telling you, man, look at this game. There's a lot of opportunity here, and wait till you see the percentage, the FPI, if they get this game, baby. So we'll break all that down. But because of what happened last night, and because I know Bart has so much passion for this, because he's been just counting the days for it, this was last night watching that was kind of, it was sad in so many ways. 24-3 loss to the Rams. Hey, Cam Newton, like the question, you know, I heard Stephen A. say this morning when he opened First Take, is Cam Newton, is it over for Cam Newton? And I was thinking, wait, just Cam Newton?
Yeah,
like, is it over? Is that whole Patriot Way thing? Is like, is it kind of done? Like, Tom knew what was going on there, and he left.
Right,
and Bill's got to know. And you know, look, I know they have a ton of cap space, but as you've said, how many guys are running to play for Bill Belichick?
Nobody.
Without Tom Brady and without a chance to...
Nobody.
That's we've heard a lot of players talk about how you go there because you want to get the ring, but you don't love being there.
Right,
they have not drafted well. And what we're looking at right now is a team that is 6-7, and the by the way, and they will not win 10 games for the first time
right
since was it 2002?
2002 when Rich Gannon was the MVP. So a round of applause for that, because listen, that is something to behold that you were able to win double digits for that many years.
Oh my God, yeah.
But the problem is, like, they never saw this. Like, it's like watching the Giants all over again, right? They didn't know that Eli was done, right? They didn't know that this era was done. Them and the Philadelphia Eagles are in the same position. They got old and they got passed by, and they lost the person that was the most important because they chose wrong. It was more about Tom Brady. And if Bill Belichick maybe would have just gave up the reins and let Josh McDaniel be the coach and gave him his world like you told him you were going to do 3 years ago when he turned down the job for the Colts, how does that looking right now? The Colts is set up for the future. Yeah, they need a quarterback, but everything else on that roster is stacked. Offensive line stacked. Defense stacked. Running back stacked. Wide receiver stacked. But now Bill Belichick wants to hand you up a world that potentially can be on fire. Because guess what? Yeah, you're going to have a lot of cap space, but you don't have any players. They don't have any players, just like the Jets don't have players. But I tell you what, I'd much rather go to New York than New England if I had to as far as living, right? As far as, you know, especially understanding that they're going to have a good coach and you know that they're going to get a franchise quarterback. You can't say that for the Patriots. The Patriots may have to get a retread. They're going to have to try and see if they can trade for Jimmy G. They're going to have to see if they can try to trade for Matthew Stafford. They Dak may have Prescott? To take, yeah. Well, no, I don't
sign
know about
Dak,
that.
They Dak Prescott?
I don't think Dallas lets him out of there. They're going to have to swing for the fences for the likes of Jameis Winston. And, that, and who wants to go in there and be the guy that's replacing the GOAT? Cam Newton saw what that was out. And listen, it ain't as much about Cam Newton as it is about the roster that Bill Belichick put together.
He doesn't look great.
But just imagine Tom Brady didn't look great when he played in the playoffs with these guys. So Cam Newton isn't the quarterback that Tom Brady is. So maybe it's more about the weapons that Bill Belichick has decided to put the team around, going to get Sony Michel when he had Nick Chubb right there, going to get N'Keal Harry when you had DK Metcalf right there, you know, going to make some of these decisions of players that hasn't panned out, and now you're stuck with a Hightower who's old and opted out. Now you're stuck with the McCourty twins that went to college like last decade. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody's getting old. Patrick Chung, we've been hearing that name for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're stuck with old stars that are expensive, and they're stuck with a bunch of salary cap space. But who's going to want to come? If you're Keenan Allen, if you're Chris Godwin, if you're Allen Robinson, if you're any of these top ranked. Top flight receivers. Are you trying to go and revitalize your career in New England where they have nobody? You don't know who the hell throwing you the ball? No. So, sorry, thank you. Keep your salary cap change, bro. Unless you show me that you can have a great quarterback in here, I'm not going. So, if you're a great quarterback, who the hell going there? Dak Prescott. You think Dak Prescott want to go there with no weapons? So, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do they get the quarterback and then they get the weapons? Or do they get the weapons and they get the quarterback? I think it's going to be hard to get a quarterback. Because who wants to go there, be in New England, have to deal with all the crap that you got to deal with you know, being thrown under the bus, being held accountable, boring, running, not being able to get out of there. So this is a great day for Jet fans because this is an opportunity that maybe now this team has been getting worse because they've been getting a copy of a copy of a copy, which is always dilution. So I think this is the time when Josh McDaniels, who's probably been one of the most important people there outside of Bill Belichick because he's always had his offense, you know, performing, this may be the time, if he's smart, say, sorry, ring that bell like in a bus. I don't know. I haven't been in the bus in a long time. Do they still have that string, Allen, that you pull a ding, ding, like me? I'm next stop. I need to get out.
Yeah, it's a button.
Oh, it's a button. Okay. Well, for me, I want to string the string because that's what I remember when I was back in the day. So you pull that string, like, excuse me, bus driver. I want to get off. Yeah. I am not going. Well, I don't like the neighborhood that this bus is going to. So if I'm Josh McDaniels, you better get off because you have an opportunity to coach Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, potentially Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan.
Wait, are you saying then that if this is all speculative, because if you're Bill Belichick, you got all this cap space and all that stuff, you imagine this is not the time to pull the chute and leave that franchise, although maybe it is. Maybe it is time for him to find that next challenge, that fresh start. Maybe he says, I want to go to the Giants and go upstairs and work with Joe Judge.
No, he ain't going to leave his sons. He's not going to leave his sons. That's a problem, right? When I was on the air today with Rob Ninkovich and their beat reporter reiterated the fact that the reason why he knows that Bill's going to keep coaching is because he has his kids and he wants to see his kids well. If I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm like, listen, this nepotism stuff, I don't want your kids. I don't even like your kids. They grown men running around thinking they own the world because my dad's Bill Belichick and you got mullets. Grow up. Cut your damn hair, right? Nobody wears mullets unless you down there at Talladega Nights. You sitting up there shaking bake down there in Charlotte. So what I'm saying is, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm getting off of this ship. And if Josh McDaniels gets off that ship, it is no more coaches that we've heard of. Brian Flores is gone. Matt Patricia is gone. All those guys that were there that made it great
Matt
is gone.
Matt Patricia could come back, to be honest with you, because I don't know if he's getting another head job.
But it's no more great pieces there, right?
Yeah, Belichick always has his – see, Belichick
who's the next guy? And we
what
always
he's
knew
done,
who they were.
Though, but
his
what Belichick – done is not it's rarely been about superstars for him. He finds his foundational guys that he builds his system, his
gone.
You know, the way to play. That's how he finds those guys that you've never heard of. And the problem is he passes on guys you end up hearing of because they're more skilled player.
I'm talking about the coaching staff.
I know what you're saying.
Brian Flores took all his assistants.
Judge took his offensive line coach.
He should leave because guess what? Even if Bill gives you his world, he's giving you a world that's on fire. Josh McDaniels, listen, if he wants to stay in the division, if Josh McDaniels says, hey, Trevor Lawrence is coming out, it may not be a bad idea, even though I don't like Josh McDaniels personally, and I know his first head coaching job didn't go well. I could see him potentially being a candidate if you miss out on Eric the Enemy, right? Who's been more versatile than Josh McDaniels, you know, depending on whatever he has from a personnel standpoint. So he could be somebody that can come to the Jets and try and create some stability, try and be innovative, and see what kind of staff he can put together. What if Josh McDaniels comes here and brings in Matt Patricia to become the defensive coordinator, right? So those are the things that can happen as well. What I saw yesterday was the beginning of the end in New England. And I think they can be competitive. But the consideration for a Super Bowl, I don't think so. Not with Jared Stidham there. Not with no early first-round draft picks to get one of these good quarterbacks here. Unless they think they can catch lightning in a bottle and get somebody in the sixth round all over again.
You know what we do, though? And we'll get into the Giants here in a minute. But what we do sometimes that happens is we get caught up in the fear of betting against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, don't we?
Yep. Yes.
Like, that is something that does happen. Is we all of us just, we cringe at that. Don't want to be the one to do that. And, you know, because you know they're, you know, he'll come back and then you'll regret it and all that other stuff. Betting against Belichick is really, it's been proven over time, over two decades. It's never really the smartest thing to do. But eventually, like you said, this thing has got to. It's got to eventually stop. It's got to eventually come to an end. When does it come to an end? And are we seeing the beginning of the end? I think that's the question that we come off of last night. All right, 800-919-3776. Dave in New Jersey, though, wants to ask you a question about something you just said a minute ago. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, good morning, Bart, Han. Love your show.
Thank you.
I haven't called. This is my first time calling, and I love you guys.
Yep.
But my concern, I can't stand the Patriots, Bill Belichick. I hate their, you know, the scandals that they get away with. But at the same time, I just don't think that it's appropriate for Bart to attack his children with the mullet thing. I think that,
Well, I wouldn't call them children. They're both grown men who are on his coaching staff, Steve and Brian.
Right. I talk about LeBron's hair looking like he got
bald
spots.
Yeah, they're not children. They're grown men.
Right. They're old, man. They're not babies. What I'm saying
they're in their 30s.
Yeah, what I'm saying is he wants to stay there with them. He wants to stay there with them because he wants to set them up so that they can have an opportunity in this game to get some respect so they can get opportunities. So he can't do that if he's not
the head
coach.
This is going to be up to Robert Kraft, though, isn't it, Bart? In the end, Robert Kraft's got to decide if he wants that. Does he want to now have Belichick pass the torch onto whether it's Steve or Brian? To take over for him when he's ready to kick himself upstairs. That's a Robert Kraft thing. He's got to assess also where are we now that Tom Brady's gone and that mystique is kind of gone here now and we want to find a way to keep this thing going. Do we stick with Belichick? Do we stick with this? You know, the Giants had to move on from Bill Parcells eventually. Like, it just, you reach that time.
And then, like, this is the thing. Like, at what point does Kraft say, listen, I believe in Josh McDaniels. I know he's a quality coach. I know he's a head coach in this league. I know him. I trust him. I don't want to lose him. So does this become, again, like, hey, do I have to pick between Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels? the same way he had to pick between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So is this something like this is really decisions for Robert Kraft to make a decision about the future of his franchise? Because Bill, you may not leave it up to Bill
and let me
to
point
decide
some,
when he's leaving.
And I'm sorry. And let me point something out, too, because I know I said the Giants had to move on. And I'm well aware that Parcells was the one who walked away. But why did he walk away? Because he just knew at that time he didn't feel like. You know, like his message getting through that he wasn't putting in the time. He was exhausted from the job, essentially. Needed that next challenge, which he eventually took, coincidentally in New England.
Right.
But it's for Belichick, it's got to be, is he reaching that same place? Maybe does he find
69
that?
69 years old.
Does he reach that point where he's like, you know, I don't know how much more I can do here. And I don't know if do I want, it's going to be a rebuild. Like it's essentially the Patriots are in that place right now. A rebuild. They've got a couple of their guys that he generally relies on that have not been available this season.
But
when you don't have a quarterback, you're in a rebuild.
Julian Edelman walking through that door isn't going to make much of a difference. He's breaking out. He's going to be 35 years old. The McCourties are post 30.
Yeah.
Hightower is post 30. Patrick Chung, post 30. Like, not early 30. They're approaching probably 30. They're probably more like 32, 33. So how much longer is that core going to be able to stick together? And that's the reason why you're in bad salary cap space is because you paid them and kept your core there. You let the Van Noys go because you had to keep because you wanted to keep those guys. So for me, what I'm saying is it may be time for Josh McDaniels to get off of that ship because if he stays on that ship, he's going to inherit a bad situation. And who we talk about Bill Belichick chasing? Who is he chasing? Tom Landry and Don Shula. Remember the ends of their careers? Was it great?
No.
But they wouldn't let him go, and they held on to him too long, and they missed out.
And you're big on that. You're big on also. And you know what? And again, ironically, that's usually what Belichick does, is he lets guys go before they decline. And then now, where is he in this place? And it's just something interesting, because there they are last night on national TV. And yes, I know decimated by the injury and COVID and everything else, but still.
Boo-hoo.
That was pretty embarrassing. They barely got points in that game. Barely got points in that game.
And that's what a former MVP.
Which is incredible. And your quarterback did not look. Yeah, he did not look good at all. And the Rams certainly are a very tough team, and that defense is really good. And Aaron Donald got after it. But just wanted to bring that up again. I know how Barr was feeling about it. I know it's New England, but I'll tell you what, from a New York perspective, if you're a Jets fan, even from the Giants perspective, it is something certainly to keep an eye on as this thing goes forward. They finished the season out, though. They're again, all division opponents.
Yep.
They're going to see the Jets in week 17. And
yeah,
I know as a Jets fan, exactly.
Lose on purpose.
As a Jets fan, you're like, oh, great, here we go.
They'll keep taking safeties.
But meanwhile, on the Giants front, and they have a game on Sunday that I feel is very winnable. I don't care what Vegas is saying, because this is a game for the Giants once again as you keep trying to move forward. You know, Washington's playing the 49ers, a game for them as well. That's going to be a big defensive game for sure. But this is a game I think the Giants really... I think they can win this game. I think they should. Now, I'll tell you what. I'll take it a step further. I think the Giants should win this game. And Lorenzo in the truck, he agrees with me. What's up, Zoe?
Hey, what's up? What's up? I didn't speak to y'all since last time, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, the last game, defense and a running game. That's all we needed. And thanks for taking my call, guys. Love to hear your voices.
All right, thank you.
But listen, at Bart, you hit me on that old school about the string on the bus, man. I damn near fell off the truck. Started laughing, man. That's hilarious.
So, shows you, Zoe, how long it's been since he's taken a bus, Mr. Bougie over here.
Listen.
Where's my car?
You get shot in Detroit trying to take a bus.
Listen, the last time I took a bus, I was pulling on the string to get off the block. And don't let the string be broke.
Exactly. You're like, yo, this is my stop. Yo, I know you hear me. Yo!
You don't get off for like a mile later. But anyway, but listen, it's going to be another, a defensive game by the Giants. I think we could do it. You know what I mean? I think we got a smart coach, and I think we got our outside linebackers, man. I'm like, they're really playing up the par. The young guys are really doing their thing. And I watch the game with my wife all the time, and I watch the game from inside out. From offensive line, defensive line,
yep.
and back. That's how I watched the game, because that's where I played and I coached a little bit. But anyway,
You know my favorite guy on that team is Dalvin Tomlinson, man. I think he's the most underrated player
on
that team.
I've
always liked him a lot.
So be well. Thank you. Now I'll give you a stat here, because this is, you want to talk about why the Giants have had success, and you can say, well, they're not playing good teams. All right, shut up. That's an easy stat. I'll give you a better one. So the last four wins, only 2 turnovers to 10 takeaways.
Yep.
That's what it's all about, right? Isn't that what it's all about? It sounds so simple, but that's really what it's about. You know why? The 1-7 start, 15 turnovers and 10 takeaways. So your defense was still getting you double-digit takeaways. The problem is your offense was out. It was giving away more than your defense was taking away.
Exactly.
And that's an imbalance. You can't win that way. So that's a huge part of this. No question about it. But this is one of those songs that is timely right now, because this song was the number one song the last time the Patriots had a season where they did not win 10 games, 2002. I just marvel at that, that's all. So it's pretty amazing. 800-919-3776.
Yeah, how old I was when I was thinking about Cheddar Bob and B-Rabbit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's crazy. I thought I was old back then, too.
And Clarence lived with his parents, and they got a real good marriage.
How good was that movie, though? Come on, let's be honest.
It was good, man. I didn't expect that out of Marshall Mathers. But it's funny, but a lot of the places that they were at, they literally were down the street from where I grew up at. They're on the east side of Detroit at Mack and Bewick, where you can go get a new Social Security passport, license tabs. You can get anything you want, man.
What did that movie mean to Detroit, though? Did that matter to you, like, as a guy from the day?
It did, because we all understand what... See, people don't understand what 8 Mile represents. 8 Mile is a street. Just imagine Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, there's like a 10-mile road, right? Like, there's a 7-mile
road. But 8 Mile, it goes and it cuts the entire city of Detroit, right? And one side is Detroit, and every other side of 8 Mile is a different suburb. So it's a way where we couldn't go across 8 Mile because we would get harassed by the police. So everything on the left side of 8 Mile was the projects and destitute and tough. And if you went over any part of 8 Mile, you had to be worried about the police either pulling you over, harassing you, or beating the hell out of you.
No,
so that's what that represents for Detroit. 8 Mile is the divide between the good life and the bad life.
Like a line of demarcation, yeah.
Exactly.
I get it. That's why that song, 8 Mile Road, that's on that soundtrack, which is an incredible soundtrack. That's one of my favorite songs on that soundtrack. Because he talks such a mantra about him just wanting to get out of there, get out of there, get out. I got to get out of here. Like you
eight mile goes for like 50 miles.
But then he kept being pulled back to that 8 mile road. I keep going back there. I keep trying to come out, but I keep going back.
Yeah.
You know, it's compelling. But anyway, it's just amazing to think it was 18 years ago. That's how great the Patriots have been. And again, we'll see if they can keep it up, or if this is the end for them. And if it is, if you're a Jets fan, you have to love it. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, the Giants and the Cardinals, and this game, I'm telling you, this is a game the Giants not could win, should win. The way the Cardinals are going, they are struggling. You've got, by the way, I had to check, because it's in New York, and I'm thinking, boy, it'd be great if it could be like a bitter cold Sunday, you know, windy, all that stuff, really mess with Kyle. No, it's 55, partly cloudy. It's going to be all right. It's going to be actually a pretty nice day, all things considered. But I'll give you the stat. So the stat that matters the most is this. As we know, Kyler Murray is a guy that can run. He uses his legs, and he uses them very well, and he makes things difficult. Teams did not really think you want to blitz a guy like that because of his legs. So the first half of the season, teams weren't blitzing.
Right.
But if you're the Giants, you want to blitz, and here's why. In the last five games, teams have blitzed 35% of the time. His completion percentage is only 53, and his total QBR is down to 68. And in the first seven games, teams were only blitzing 17% of the time, and his completion percentage was almost 70.
Right.
His QBR was 96. So as you see, you need to put pressure on him. You want to blitz him. You want to get him out of there. You want to get him moving. He has 61 total rushing yards in the last three games, all else.
Well,
and overall, by the way, if he's held under 40 yards rushing in a game, he's 3-12-1, at least the team is. Right. So they do not have success when you blitz and when he does not get the rushing yardage. So not only do you have to blitz, you have to contain.
Yeah,
that's a thing that the Giants, I think, can do. Do you agree?
No, exactly. You have to. If you're going to blitz them, you got to make sure that you have your borders, right? You got to make sure that you're secure on your edges and force them to have to step up and step out. Because if he steps up, what happens is if you distort the pitcher in the inside, much like we used to do against guys who were good athletes but also weren't great quarterbacks like Michael Vick, you stir the pocket up for him in the inside, and his first instinct is, let me get somewhere where I can see, because he's below 6 feet. So if you cloud up the vision, he doesn't have the same lanes that he throws through, he runs through. But if he don't don't have those lanes. And another thing you can't do, when you do all those blitzes, you have to make sure that they're zone blitzes. Because if you go man blitzing and everybody else's back is turned, if he breaks contain or somebody misses and get cut out of a gap or falls down, he'll be running up your back for about 30, 40, 50 yards. So they're going to have to make sure that they keep eyes on him. And it really is going to be, how great can Bradbury be? We saw him great against Metcalf. How great can he be against DeAndre Hopkins, who to me may be the best receiver, pure wide receiver in the game? If Bradbury can, go one for one there and just hold his own, that's going to allow you to have another set of eyes for Kyler Murray, being able to spy him, not allow him to take advantage, because I think that he's hurt enough, right? We heard him kind of go off a little bit on the reporters earlier this week when he was saying, hey, well, if they're giving me a give read, I got to get a ball. But if they don't do that, I think he's going to try and make a concerted effort to run, because the same way how you read those numbers off, I'm sure he's starting to become aware of it as well. So he's going to say, just forget it. I'm just going to take off and use my athleticism and not go through my progressions. Because if you go zone and you're watching him and it's not a fire zone, you're watching him and he doesn't have anything, now you have natural lanes and guys, he's so fast that he can change angles. I think he has 10 rushing touchdowns already this year, leading the league. We haven't seen a quarterback have 10 rushing touchdowns in a while. Maybe Lamar Jackson, but nobody outside of that.
Yeah, they're dangerous in the red zone because of that option, obviously.
Right. So he's super. But for the Giants, it's tough.
Look, they're a top three team in run defense. Like they are. So they have demonstrated performance when it comes to containing the run. Now, of course, it's him. That you have to really, that these stats really are more about him and less about Evans. Like, it's really more about containing him. Right. And so, but the blitz thing is interesting to me, though, Bart, right?
Heat him up, because what happens, he's not a guy that knows where to go to football immediately. What happens is he pats. If he don't find anybody open, he takes off. So you have to make him make a decision early. He's not the most accurate quarterback as well. You see a lot of his balls skipping balls to players. But, I think on the other side, it's going to be important that the Giants continue to run the football at the clip that they have. And I'm nervous about Danny Dimes. They say he's going to practice today. And if he's up, I'm concerned with that hamstring, because Allen, if you pull that hamstring twice,
it's significant
time gone. And I just don't know if I trust Daniel Jones at this early age in his career to understand that he can't, that he has to fight the urge to take off. Because if those instincts kicks in, he takes off, he pulls that thing, and that thing roll up, he's done for the year. So you may win the game if he plays for a little bit before he pulls it, but what's going to happen after that? Not much. Not with Colt McCoy.
Well, his ability, though, as obviously he's not the same as Murray, but his ability to use his legs is a huge part of his game.
He's
right?
Josh, like,
both
Allen
of these guys can
he's
run.
Like Josh
yeah.
Allen.
Similar, yeah. And look, if Daniel Jones is there, though, the threat at least is there. It also says something about how they have to play defensively.
Yeah.
But he doesn't necessarily have to run. But what you don't want is what I just told you before. What was one of Daniel Jones' issues early in the season and last year as well?
Ball security, job.
Turning the ball over, right.
Yep.
That has not been an issue during this win streak. They have been very good at ball security, at not turning the ball over, and that's been a huge reason for their success. Daniel Jones just has to almost be a game manager at this point, right? Their running game showed you something last week, did it not?
Right. Absolutely. But he's been part of the running game when he's been in there. Now, if Wayne Gallman can continue to get these guys, listen, it's hard. Listen, sometimes you get a false sense of security, because that Seattle Seahawks team is horrible. They've been horrible all year.
The Cardinals are bottom half of the league in run defense. So, not like they're great at stopping the run.
But if you got Colt McCoy in there, I'm saying, Colt McCoy is going to beat me. I'm going to put everybody in the box. I'm going to cover zero all day if I have to. But if Daniel Jones is there, then maybe because he throws a deep ball so well, that you have to say, you know what, I'm going to pause a little bit. I'm going to make sure I keep some safety.
They were the Legion. They ain't had no boom.
They still don't. If you're Joe Judge, though, and you have Daniel Jones at even 80%, don't you go with him instead of Colt McCoy in a game? Like I said, I'm looking at the schedule. You're looking at games that are winnable, and you're also seeing Washington with an improbable, and you didn't expect them to beat the Steelers, staying neck and neck with you, and they're playing the 49ers. This is a game, I don't think this is a game, they could win. No, they have to win this game. Yeah. They need to win this game. They should win this game is what I believe. Do you see the same thing, or do you think I'm overrating the Giants right now just because they've had some success over the last couple of weeks?
No, because when you look at this schedule, you're trying to tell yourself, listen, this may be our best chance to get a win. win. We know if we get this win, we have the tiebreaker over the Redskins. I'm sorry, over the Washington football team, because you won and beat them head to head. So if you're going to get one, this is the one that you want to try and steal, because it only gets more difficult after this. When you think about that, after the Cardinals, they have the Cleveland Browns, who are playing and fighting for playoff hope. You think about the Ravens that's trying to have their playoff hope. You don't get another break until the Cowboys. So if you get this one and the next one, that secures you seven. If you lose this one, you may be looking at a 6-win season. That may not be enough to beat, you know, to beat the Washington football team in record wise, because they had an improbable win, and that defense hasn't given up. I think only a couple haven't given up a score in this streak in the third quarter. In the second half, I think they've only given up like a couple touchdowns in the second half of games in their four game in the last four games for them. So like this is that, you know, that Redskin team can really shut teams down and have an ability to win. I think they're getting more and more confidence. So you don't want it to come down. You have to make sure at least you have a tie with them. You can't.
Yeah, the tie gives you the tie gives you that opportunity, because that's right. What you need. You need to keep, well, basically all you got to keep pace with them. You got to keep pace with them, and that's what we got to see. All right, 800-919-3776. Jay's in the Bronx. How you feeling about this game, Jay?
Hey, what's up? I'm feeling that the Giants are going to smoke these guys, because the Giants is playing good right now, and the Giants got their mojo, and I love the coach.
I like the coach, too. Appreciate valid, you, Jay.
Those are valid reasons. But, you know, with Daniel Jones and maybe going with Colt McCoy, and what happens if Daniel Jones was taking a lot of the reps this week, and then now you're just throwing Colt McCoy in if he goes in and he hurts himself. That's why I hate it. I always used to tell people, listen, man, if you're going to play, man, you need to be able to play the whole game. Because what we can have is have somebody in there that didn't really have the reps that they needed, and it limits the playbook, and now we're fighting left-handed.
Now about Daniel Jones, I'm just reading what Judge was just saying yesterday about where he's at, and they sort of don't know yet. He was saying, I know, but still, you also don't want to reveal too much. He said he is throwing the ball well, but he didn't say much about how he was moving. You know, and that's obviously the biggest part of it, is just you want to see, as you said, you know, it's one thing to have like that static situation where you know nobody can hit you, but once you're in a situation where you can get hit. Where, and then you react, and we know his instinct is to run. He sees an opening, he's going to run, and it's how that hamstring reacts, like you said. Does he keep it loose enough? Do they keep it hot so that it doesn't tighten up on him again? Was it a strain that it's enough that he could re-injure it? And then, of course, that could knock him out for the rest of the season. So they've got to keep an eye on all that. But in the meantime, what you do is you keep Arizona now wondering, which quarterback do we have to prepare for? And that is at least keeping them from having to focus on one. But if you're the Giants, you obviously want Daniel Jones there. And this is certainly a game where if he's there and he's healthy enough and they're home, they've got a chance to win. And the Cardinals are a team that is heading in the other direction. So the last thing you want to do is also give them a little bit of juice, feel good about themselves. Because as we played, what was it, the other day or 2 days ago? That we had the criticism, not just from you from a couple of weeks ago, but now was it Brock Huard from Fox was also criticizing Kyler Murray for his temperament, right? And his preparation during the week and what he's hearing about how during the week he's not the same guy, but on game day he's hyped because he's ready for competition. That's money-making time. And he feels like you, as a quarterback and as a leader, you've got to be locked in like, hey, we're making the playoffs. This is a big week for us. We can beat this Giants team. Let's go. And he doesn't seem to have that. So, Kyler Murray's under a lot of pressure right now in this game as well, because they lose this game. You know, we want to flip it. It's a big game for the Giants. This is a big game for the Cardinals as well.
Oh, absolutely, because, listen, they're holding on by a thread. We were all excited when we saw them beat Seattle, and now we're saying, hey, maybe that may have been a not as impressive win as we once thought. And, you know, we saw them struggling the last couple of years. Then when they lost to the 49ers, we're like, hold up. This was a team that just beat Seattle, but they can't beat the 39ers? Like, what's going on? So now a lot of the criticism is going to fall squarely on the shoulders of Kyler Murray, because they gave him everything that he needed. I mean, you got Christian Kirk, you got Kenyon Drake, and you have DeAndre Hopkins. So you should be able to do more with less. You should be able to elevate those guys no matter how the defense plays, minus Chandler Jones. You should be able to get it done.
It's gotta suck to be Michael Jordan's brother.
How could Jermaine only have one hit?
It has to.
By the way, happy birthday, Jermaine Jackson. Turned 65. Officially can retire now if he hasn't already.
But it's like Tito was like
a great
second song. Best.
A great video. No, Jermaine's. Come on.
No, it feels like him and Tito was fighting for who's the second. How is it? I always wonder. Like, we should have a series. Oh. And me and you should go around and interview people's brothers that aren't as good as them.
So, ultra famous siblings?
Yes.
Or is it?
Yes. Or kids, or, too. Michael Jordan. How would you like to be Michael Jordan kid and you playing basketball?
I mean, it can't be that bad.
Yeah. Okay, listen. How about, listen, Jonathan Ogden, brother, reminded me, like, of, like, I don't know if everything that his parents had inside of them, all the good
It'd
stuff
went to
Jonathan.
It'd be difficult to be your brother, you know?
No, everything.
Phrasing?
Everything good went to Jonathan. His brother looks like the afterbirth version of him.
Come on, why would you, don't say that.
No, he understands it. And Jonathan understands it, too. Like, listen, and this is a testament to Jonathan Ogden's greatness. Jonathan Ogden was so great that they signed his bum brother to play and gave him a job for 2 years. Like, you look at you, like, it's like, hey, John, you
got to save you from you. I got to save you from you right now.
No, don't
do this. Don't,
no.
don't.
Jonathan knows it.
We are on the air.
Jonathan would say the same thing. And his brother would say the same thing. Yeah, man, thank you that he's my brother, man. Google Jonathan Ogden's brother,
I don't want to. Instead.
Jonathan's 6'9". His brother's 6'2". Like, Ma, what the hell happened? Were you not taking your vitamins and your protein shakes? What happened? How did Jonathan become 6'10", a dancing bear, and I'm 6'2", with flapjacks for chest? I played with him for 2 years.
All right, we should do a series. Please stop.
Based on the brothers of great players.
That would be an interesting kind of series to do of basically like of
because you're either better than your big brother or you're horribly worse. Like T.J. Watt right now, he's doing his thug dizzle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But then the one that plays footback,
They're all in the Subway commercial, though.
Yeah, nobody comes to your Thanksgiving game because they're like, nah, you're not going to play that much. You're going to embarrass us. We put your jersey on in the stands. People going to throw some eggs on us. You know what I mean? You look at the Bosa brothers. It's good to be the Bosa brothers,
yeah,
right?
It's good to be the younger brother.
But to be one of the Ball brothers, the one that just got with the Pistons, yeah. Like you gonna be
nobody wants to be the third
D'Angelo.
Ball, bro.
You gonna be borrowing money from the other two.
Stop.
Just keep it
you
real.
See, LaMelo got the diamond grill.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first thing he bought with his check. Good for him. All right, but you did want to bring up though, as I mentioned, a birthday in Jermaine Jackson, 65. You want to bring up somebody we lost yesterday.
Yeah, man. I mean, 2020 has been a tough year, man. We lost some cultural icons, and there's no bigger cultural icon than Debo.
Who else wants some? Who else wants some of Debo?
All you have to do is say the name, man. You know Tiny Zeus Lester,
Tommy
man.
Lister, yeah.
Tiny. Yeah, Tommy Lister. Yeah. I always call him Tiny Zeus because I love him more from Zeus, from being from his wrestling days and snapping Hogan's neck and fighting The Undertaker with the nappy Z in the back of his head. But we lost a legend, man, way too early. 62, way too early. And, man, he had some classic moments, man. And, you know, the fact that he was on Friday.
Iconic character actor, from the Friday movies. Yeah,
yeah, Fifth Element. Mm-hmm. I mean – I love me, so, you know. He'll be sorely missed.
You reference Debo a lot, yeah. You do. You reference Debo a lot. It's just something, that is something we saw that yesterday. It's like, oh man, you know, another. But as we get older, it's amazing how we just keep we pay more attention. The older people, we pay more attention to losses because they're people that affected us throughout our lives as we grew up. Whether they're musicians or actors or athletes or whatever they are, it's just people that affected us growing up in our. In pop culture, and he certainly is one of them. And another person that is affecting things, as we'll get into Jets, we'll get into a lot of other stuff, we'll get your calls in a minute here, is Kyrie Irving. And this has now gone from one extreme to another, and I got to bring it up because we got to shoehorn it into this a day where we do talk a lot of football. Kyrie Irving, as you know, he was fined by the league $25,000, so were the Nets, for him not talking to the media at his media availability going into training camp. He put out a statement instead saying he chooses not to. And so the league fined him. We were wondering what the league would do here. Well, they did. $25,000 already. Kyrie then went to Instagram and put out a statement. And he said, I pray we utilize the fine money, in quotes, for the marginalized communities in need, especially seeing where our world is presently. I am here for peace, love, and greatness. So stop distracting me and my team and appreciate the art. We move different over here. And then he said, I don't talk to pawns. PAWNS, by the way. Pawns. And he said, my attention is worth more. I got to say this, and I'll let you go, because you're the athlete here. I mean, it's kind of made me laugh. As I said, I don't care about you. Talk, don't talk. I don't care. But this is really, this is now getting to the, he's giving you something that comes off as elitist. He's disguising it as anti-establishment. He's buying your compassion with the whole charity thing. But all he knows is that this is going to trigger people. This is such a low, bottom of the ocean type of issue to me. I feel like anybody that's reacting and gets angry, you're feeding a troll. Let him be. I think what they're realizing is that nobody's paying attention to them in this city. It's all nationally, we're going to pay attention to the Nets, but nobody's really paying attention. He's doing this to just create this anger. I think he likes this kind of stuff. He wants you to be mad. I don't care. Talk, don't talk. Doesn't change my life. Don't people who are angry, don't manufacture your emotion towards this guy. If he doesn't want to talk, great. The league goes on without you, whether you talk or not. But when you start doing this whole thing about, you know, pawns, meaning media members, and that this whole thing about this stuff's beneath me, and he's telling people just to appreciate the art, yeah, you're on another planet at this point, and it's not worth my time. You?
Hey, Socrates, stick a sock in it. Like, come on, bro. It's in your contract.
Socrates.
Like, he's trying to act like he's so damn smart. The earth is flat. He's so layered.
But, you know, even that was a put on. The earth is flat thing was just to make people react.
Right. He's so sophisticated. Come on, Uncle Drew, man. You better than that. And we knew that this was going to be the issue, right? And, like, this is the issue now. We thought that, hey, we had two guys in this market that had deer skin. In this market, you got to have skin like an armadillo, like Rex used to say. And these dudes are too sensitive, too soft. And listen, if he's going to show an opportunity, like some guys are just, some media members are going to say, whatever, man, I ain't got time for it. But some people are going to indulge him and poke the bear and see how deep they can get. And it's going to be a day where he's not going to feel it. He's going to cross the line. Like, come on, bro. It's in your contract. We have media obligations. The fact that you think that
it's a contract you signed. Exactly.
Right. You're not the best player that these people that are writing about have ever covered, bro. So get over yourself. Check the list, bro. It's some guys right now that's ranked above you that they can talk to. But historically, it's been better. Like, we don't expect this from Jason Kidd. We didn't expect this from Kenyon Martin, who was a little loose cannon. Vince Sanity. Come on, man. Like, stop it, bro. Like, you're better than this. And, like,
it's one thing to say, but I feel like, Bart, it's one thing to say, you know, I don't like talking to the media. It's not something, like, I don't enjoy this. You remember Marshawn Lynch?
Yes.
I'm just here so I don't get fined. Like, I get it. Like, if it's not something, if this ain't what you want to do,
but don't demean
you can
us.
Say that, but don't
demean us.
Exactly.
Don't demean us. Don't say call us pawns, bro.
We pawns.
Yeah, that's right, damn it. I said it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. So to anybody that's wondering, by the way, the fine money.
Why do I got to talk to you?
The fine money, by the way, and he should know, isn't he president of the Players Association at this point, or exactly. Vice president or something? The fine Paul money person. does go to charity, by the way.
Absolutely.
Half of it goes to the league, and they offer it to charitable partners. The other half goes to the union. So he should certainly know this, and that's why he says this.
Grow up.
Because he wants people who don't know these things to just feel like, yeah, man, he speaks for the people. And no, you don't. He speaks for himself. He's now that whole that ridiculous one of one thing that's now going around. Like, just stop it. He's sniffing himself, and he likes what he smells, and it's ridiculous. But why do we care? The less you talk, probably the better for everybody. We'll leave it at that. John in Queens on this. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. First of all, Alan Hahn, I want to say you were really awesome on the Knicks Fan TV last week. I tuned in.
Oh, thanks. That was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you were really insightful, giving us things that some of us didn't even know, so that was really awesome. I wanted to chime in on the Kyrie thing just because I feel like he's doing such a disservice to him and his team, and especially in New York, you might not know that yet. But you guys definitely heard that Shams said the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, that the Rockets would want either Durant or Kyrie. So I know it's not likely, but, yeah. I mean, he's just setting himself up to be traded for Harden at this point.
I joked about that, John. I joked and said, if I'm Sean Marks, I'd trade Kyrie for Harden.
Give me Kyrie. Yeah, no.
Thanks for getting me KD. Now I'm going to send you to get Harden. You'll help get me KD and Harden.
Think that much of a joke at this point. I think.
Well, they have John, but they just traded for John Wall. It wouldn't make sense on every level for the Rockets. But point is, and thanks for the call, John. The point is that this is what they wanted. This is what they've got. It's going to be weird, but they're still going to be a very good team. That's it. They're still going to be a very good team.
Yeah, but it's going to be full of quotables that we could have fun of. Kyrie said this, and
well, he doesn't say anything. He got to go to his Instagram.
Yeah, but he thinks he's Kanye, right? He thinks he's so next level thinking.
Yeah,
you know, eventually they're going to make him say something. He's going to make a spectacle out of it. So then they're going to ask KD about it, and he's going to go off. And then now you have a distraction.
Well, that's unfair to KD.
The team. Yeah,
that's true, because now you got to ask. Well, you know, that's your guy. So what about this? What about that? And KD's going to probably. He doesn't want to deal with it either.
He's going to say,
so.
Who's that? I don't know who you're talking about. Because he acts like he don't know who James Harden is, but they were working out with each other and they were teammates. But who's that?
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.